Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone. It's been a rejuvenating summer break for us here at Literary Escape, but I am excited to get back to our regular programming. So let's kick it off with a few announcements here. Our next coffee and books event will be on August 17th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join authors Misty M. Beller and Jody Basie for a fun Q&A session. We always have a blast talking books with these ladies, so I hope you can join us. There is a link to save your spot. It's a free event, but you'll need to pre-register to save your spot, and you can find that link on the blog post for this episode. Also, I am participating in 3 ebook giveaways this month. All the books are historical romance, but they're not all Christian romance, so just kind of keep an eye out for that when you are perusing those, but enjoy your perusing. There's lots of reading options, and the links to each of those giveaways is also on the blog post for this episode at literaryescape.com/podcast/119. And authors, we are so excited to offer you many options to enjoy the benefits of being an HCRW member, because we now have 3 tiers of support. The first tier is the drafting membership for just $3 a month. With this membership, you can connect with other authors of historical Christian romance on our private Facebook group and join us for our monthly live Q&A sessions. The second tier is our revising membership for just $12 a month. In this tier, you get everything in the drafting membership plus access to the HCRW resource library, which houses all our training videos. The third tier is our editing membership for just $37 a month. Enjoy all the benefits of the revising membership plus twice a month critique meetings and free access to all expert trainings. You can learn more and become a member today for just $3 a month at literaryescape.com/HCRW. I cannot wait to work with you as you join our amazing community of historical Christian romance writers. We also have a wonderful training coming up with Terry Whalen on how to write a book proposal that sells. This will be on September 19th from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He walks you through how to write a book proposal that sells, and the cost is $17. This training is free for HCRW editing members. A former literary agent, Terry is an acquisition editor at Morgan James Publishing. He has written more than 60 books through traditional publishers in a wide range of topics, from children's books to biographies to co-authored books. Several of Terry's books have sold over 100,000 copies. Terry's newest book, Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, Insider Secrets to Skyrocket Your Success, is packed with insight. Also, Terry has an innovative online training course to help authors effectively connect with literary agents and editors called Write a Book Proposal. Terry is a popular speaker and teacher at numerous writers' conferences and an active member of the American Society of Journalists and Authors. If you want to write a book proposal that will catch the eye of an agent and acquisitions editor, then be sure to join us for an hour of training. You can sign up with the link attached to the blog post for this episode. And finally, every author must decide which publishing path they want to take. With God's guidance, I've chosen to self-publish. There are many pieces to publishing your own book, and I want to share this journey with you. So over the next several weeks, there will be a Friday video where I share the who, what, where, when, why, and how behind self-publishing. The first video went out last Friday, and I put a link to it and this week's video for your viewing pleasure in the blog post for this episode. I'm looking forward to sharing this journey with you and in the end providing you with a satisfying historical Christian suspense romance novel. If you have family or friends who you think will enjoy my writing and the content we have at LiteraryScape, please share this episode with them and have them go head on over to sign up for our newsletter at literaryscape.com/newsletter. That's it for announcements. Enjoy our discussion on Sarah Sundin's book, The Sea Before Us. Nothing but love could heal the wounds of war. In 1944, American naval officer Lieutenant Wyatt Paxton arrives in London to prepare for the Allied invasion of France. He works closely with Dorothy Fairfax, a Wren in the Women's Royal Navy Service, who pieces together reconnaissance photographs with holiday snapshots of France, including those of her family's summer home, in order to create accurate maps of Normandy, maps that Wyatt turns into naval bombardment plans for D-Day. As the two spend concentrated time together in the pressure cooker of war, their deepening friendship threatens to turn into something more, but both of them have too much to lose to give in to love. Yay, I like this. This series, I know this is a little different from our normal because we normally go into the 1800s and here we're in World War II, but this was a good series. Very good series. And the way it starts off is the prologue, which kicks off the mystery, I guess you could say, or the whole series. So what did you think about that prologue?
I liked it. I mean, I didn't like what happened, but I think it showed how quickly...
Spiral out of
hand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought it was intense and extremely heartbreaking.
Yes.
And I don't want to give too much away.
I know, that's why I'm like, how much do we say?
I know. I should say, spoiler alert, because we may end up accidentally, because it's hard to talk about the book without talking about some of the
things that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. That if you haven't read the book, you may want to just stop now. Go read it because you're going to love it and then come back and listen to it. But we'll try not to. We try to talk around it. But I liked Jamie did send her responses because she couldn't be here with us because they're on a vacation, I think, family vacation still. So she said that her heart hurt for Wyatt and how he felt that it was his fault, that the death was his fault, and then believing that his brother felt the same way for all those years as well.
Yeah.
It was also, like, I just thought, trying to process that, like, if I was there, how, that would be, like, nightmares forever.
Yes, yes.
So.
Yes.
It happens, but okay, but that's intense. And so based on that prologue, that's what then makes it so basically that family just falls apart. Mm-hmm. And the brothers, from there, you just discover how the brothers have come apart. And then the whole series is, of course, about bringing the family back. So it's pretty good. But we're going to start with Wyatt. He talks about how our earthly parents did not give us everything we wanted to keep us from being spoiled and rotten. He then relates that to what God does for us when he doesn't answer all our prayers the way we want him to, but rather to his perfect will for our lives. Any thoughts on this, or what were you thinking of Wyatt at this point? Because I feel like this is the first time that he shares his faith with Dorothy. Because he's trying to walk her through her own issues.
I was thinking how true it is, like how God protects us from things that we think we want, but then we really don't need them.
It really hurt us more.
It really would have hurt us more, yes. And then I thought, and it was funny because the next question you put the same word in. I was like, oh, when I read the next question.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I put why it was so wise, like wise beyond its years. But sometimes to be that wise, you have to go through that immense heartbreak that he had. So that's what I had down.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you had, Mom?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't write it down, but yeah.
Yeah. I loved his faith and wisdom throughout the whole book. But I did say God is the perfect father and he knows what is best. It's just a great reminder of what you're saying, Tiff, the fact that what we want is not always what's best for us. And he knows that. So he keeps us from it. And just like our parents know, you shouldn't be eating chocolate cake for breakfast, right? You're going to get an upset stomach. Yeah. Right?
Sometimes it's so good, though.
I know, right? We also weren't allowed to eat Mom's cupcakes or Oreos.
Dad's Oreos.
Oh, Dad's Oreos. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And Jamie said she really admired Wyatt. It's so hard to accept the hard things in life, but God sees and knows what's best. So then it kind of ties in to, because I feel like Wyatt just full of little nuggets of truth throughout the whole thing. It says, Dorothy believes God is nowhere near her because of all the tragedy in her life. So we'll just kind of let the everybody realize that she's lost everyone but her dad to the war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Wyatt points out that you cannot get away from God because he is everywhere. He also points out that we all die. And this is to address her frustration with having lost her mother and brothers to the war. And then he has her read Psalm 139. What was your reaction to Wyatt's wisdom and joy in the Lord? I'll start with Jamie's response. She said, I think it's common for all Christians to know that God is always there. Yet when we go through hard times, we don't always feel that comfort. We feel separated from him instead of drawing close. It's hard to believe something so tragic is allowed by God. Oh, how many times have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if God's so good, why did he let this happen?
Yeah.
Which is kind of where Dorothy was at.
Right.
And that's true. It's hard. I mean, what you just said. I mean, if God is so good, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
to anybody. The thing that really hit me was that Wyatt is so good with his advice about God and his faith, but he doesn't apply it to himself.
I had that down too.
Did you?
Yeah. I was amazed. I'm amazed how he could remember scripture like that, but didn't apply it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. I just kept falling more and more in love with him. I absolutely loved his nuggets of truth, but you're right. He didn't apply it to himself.
No, he.
But sometimes we get that way, right? Like, I know what's right. I know what's right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Sarah did a wonderful job creating that character, though. I really liked his character.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going through a lot of his nuggets of wisdom. Then we'll get into the story here, because there's one more where Wyatt says, don't you see he doesn't make the hard things in life go away, but he gets you through if you lean on him. When you lean, the Lord won't give way. He's a solid rock. How did you react to this nugget of truth? I will say this is one of the reasons why I love reading Christian romance, because I also read, well, I've been trying to cut it off, but I've been reading secular romance too, but it just leaves you empty. I feel like this one, there's so many nuggets of truth in the, especially if they weave it in naturally, which I think Sarah did a really good job of that, that you feel like, oh, yeah. Like, I just thought, oh, that felt really good reading that part, because it was just reassuring and such a reminder. Like, he's solid. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. It's just nice when you're reading something entertaining that you also get that little, like, boost.
That heartfelt.
Yes. Yeah. Any thoughts you guys had on that one?
I just wrote, it's the truth, how hard it is to trust sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's the truth.
So at Jamie's, I liked, she said, just kind of like what she said before, that God may allow the bad, or we may suffer for someone else's poor choices, but God never promised an easy life. He actually promised suffering and pain, but he will never leave us to it alone. She says it's a beautiful nugget. And generally, don't we come out better on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can turn around and help somebody else that's going through it. Like, hey, yeah, I've been there, done that. So it's really all about training us up and helping him build his kingdom, right?
Yes, yes.
That's a good way to put it.
Refining us, right?
Refining, yes.
Yeah. Refining.
Like a diamond.
Yes. All right. Dorothy believes she is unlovable based on her father's lack of love and not having a man who loves her for her. She's dead set on changing to be the woman Lawrence wants. This is something she battles throughout the book. And what did you think about Dorothy and her struggle?
I wanted to shake her. I was like very annoyed with her. I can understand when you don't, I don't know, when she's in the place she is. She doesn't know herself. She doesn't know God. She doesn't know.
She doesn't have confidence in who she is. Yeah,
she wants to mold herself. But so it's frustrating as someone that has teenage daughters to be like, I think that's where I was like, no, just be yourself. But like, you don't want that. But so that's where I was annoyed with her. But
yeah,
I was happy to see the progression.
Yes, it was part of her character arc.
Yes, you know, she had to build. I think we all go through it. So
yeah. I was the same way, though. I was just so frustrated. Like, don't change yourself for that man. He's a jerk anyways,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was.
I didn't.
No, there's nothing about him that was appealing.
No. Yeah, no.
And then I'm like, and Wyatt is right there. And he's so sweet. And yes. You know what I mean?
And I think she does have feelings for Wyatt, but she doesn't. She thinks that
she keeps him in the friend zone.
Yeah, she thinks that Lawrence is the one she should go for. I don't know.
I think part of it went back to her mom, because her mom and her dad was boring, and
yeah,
her mom always wanted excitement. So yeah, I think that would make her happy, but
yeah,
she saw Lawrence as being like someone who likes to be out and party and be. Yeah. It'll be an exciting adventure, and then Wyatt is this like solid. Stay the course. But then they had so much fun together.
I know. Did.
Like, how do you not see it? He's a solid man and you have fun together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't force you to do things you're not comfortable with.
Right.
That whole airplane ride thing.
Yeah.
Made me so mad.
It kind of reminded me of what happened in the prologue.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, nobody got hurt. But,
yeah. But they were pressuring.
Yeah. That's true. And Jamie said we all go through trying to be accepted, kind of like what you were talking about. She goes, I really, really, and she put it in capitals, disliked Lawrence and was really surprised at how Dorothy was willing to be someone else completely. And she said, never change yourself. Mm-hmm. It was so true. You just be you. And you just follow. This is what our pastor says. You run your race for God.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, someone else is going to be running next to you.
Yeah.
And what he's always normally talking to the guys. He's like, and so guys, at that point, that's when you just turn your head and say, hey. So.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Now, this next one I put spoiler alert on because it may be hard for us to share our thoughts without.
Okay.
You know. Given a little bit away. So Wyatt sees his brother Adler in the park and realizes he's an airman, which is not at all what he was supposed to be doing, right? He assumed that he was running the company with their dad back home. So what did you think about his reaction, and were you disappointed that he didn't approach him?
I thought I was surprised, but not surprised regarding him not going up to his brother because of the way things were left between them. But yeah, I think it just showed him how much the war truly changed his family, not just their argument, but how things I guess, snowballed from just that one event.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say it without saying.
No, I know. But the one event, the prologue.
Right.
That one death, that one incident and everything. And
that whole night that we realized later on.
Yes. Did you love that, by the way?
I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How it just...
The
each
series,
book, you like, find out different things that happen.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, because this time you're just getting Wyatt's perspective.
Yeah.
And then the next book you get to add on Adler's perspective, and you're like, whoa, what?
Right?
And then Clay's perspective.
Yeah. Oh, poor Clay.
And you're like, man, a lot happened in one 24-hour period.
And it's amazing how it affected everyone differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm afraid I'm not going to say anything because I don't
want... You want to give it away?
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, we kind of gave it away by saying they saw each other. He saw Adler in a distance and was like, oh my word, that's my brother. And I thought he was going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
He is so... Wyatt is so... He's beating himself up over... The idea that everything's his fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I caused the death.
Yeah.
And then I caused my financial burden, basically, on my younger brother.
Yeah.
And now, because I did all that and I ran away, it's my fault that Adler's an airman now.
Yeah.
When really,
even though he doesn't know... Yet yeah. what? Yeah.
But he takes on all the blame.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to, what do you call that when you're trying to like make up for a wrong, like penance, pay his, like, I can't think of the word I want. You know, it's because, you know, he won't let himself enjoy anything because he's saving up to pay his brother back. But it's like, I don't know how to explain it.
He gives good advice to everybody else.
Yeah.
But he doesn't use it for himself.
Right. But
he doesn't.
Atonement. It's like he's trying to atone his own.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
His own sin. And he can't do that.
No. He has to let himself be forgiven.
Yeah.
And forgive himself.
Yeah.
And he... Yeah.
All right. So Dorothy, remember Wyatt plays the guitar, and Dorothy finds out the name of the song that Wyatt sang to her in Spanish. And the title was Kiss Me a Lot. Did this surprise you? And how did you react to this?
So side note, I read the audio version of this, so the lady singing it was funny. So I got like the little... I got to hear it, so the song. But I thought it was cute and sweet, and I think it showed that he really did like her, but she wasn't seeing it.
Yeah, here he was like...
Serenading her beautifully.
Serenading, like totally... I'm like
sweet.
Falling in love with you, would like to kiss you, but, and he knows she doesn't know what he's saying because he's singing in Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like this
his little secret
of his.
I giggled.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh. And I was like, what a song to sing. I loved it. A little bit of theirs reminded me of Derek and I, because for like an entire year we were just friends, and remember he would write letters and he would call, and I remember you telling me he likes you, and I go, we're just friends. I mean, we're just friends. It's not, he does not like me like that. And you're like, no, a boy does not write letters or make phone calls to a girl unless he likes her. And I was like, no, we're friends. And then we started dating the next summer.
Yeah.
And now we're married.
I knew.
It was too funny. I was like, no, it's kind of like her, but it's because she's so set on
that.
I'm going to have Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That she doesn't consider that here's Wyatt, this handsome, solid man.
He's pouring his love out to her, and she's just like, yeah. Oh, nice song. Oh,
you play the guitar really well. You sing really well. Yeah, yeah. And Jamie, she thought, she was not surprised that he sang that song. She thought it was the cutest way to admit he had a crush on her without actually saying he had a crush, which is really what
true.
He was doing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Secretly wooing her, I guess. All right. What did you think of Julia Bliss Baldwin? This is the woman that's like the over the Wrens. Remember? And she's got a thing for Lawrence, too.
Oh, okay. Now I know who she is. I didn't think that was her name. I thought, am I getting her mixed up with somebody in one of the other books?
Maybe. I thought that was her name.
I thought she was... Okay, I have two sides to her.
Okay.
I felt very sorry for her because of the way she was obsessed with Lawrence and Lawrence playing her. I felt sorry for her in that. But the other part of me is like, girl, you know what he is and you still like him. So I was like...
No.
She was arrogant and pushy and she didn't need to treat her that way. So... That was my two. I had two sides to her.
Yeah. Oh, you were nicer than me. I just put, that woman's a piece of work. I did not like her at all.
No, I didn't either.
She misused her authority, her power, her position to get what she wanted. The fact that, like, any woman that she thought that he was liking or anything like that, she sent
away.
Away. She'd just have them transferred.
Yeah.
I was like, that's wrong. And then what she did to Dorothy at the
well,
end.
Well, and she got away with it. It's the other thing. So, yeah. It's like nobody was paying attention to her, you know, what she was doing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just read Jamie's because I didn't read these ahead of time. the question was, what do you think about Julia Bliss Baldwin? And she wrote, things we shouldn't say out loud, especially on a podcast, LOL. She was one mean, jealous woman. She did not like her, apparently. All right, so while we're at it, let's circle back to Greer. I think that's how you would say his name. And what he did to Wyatt, and what are your thoughts on him, and then how Wyatt responded to that whole situation?
He was the one that took his work.
Yeah, as his own.
As his own.
Jamie said she was frustrated that Wyatt didn't speak up. About the offense, given time. Wait, how did she put that? I was frustrated he didn't speak up, but the offense given time would really correct itself. And it did. I'm not sure what Greer was thinking. Who was going to do his work if not Wyatt? Yeah. Because Wyatt would read everything, compile the reports, and he would know, okay, basically what needs to go down on the battlefield. And then Greer would pretend like he did it when he didn't. And I think that people like Greer always get their comeuppance.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Because they're clueless about what's really going on because they didn't do any of the work. And then at some point, they're not going to be able to hide behind the person that's doing the work. They're going to have to stand on their own, which is obviously that's what happened to him. Yes. I was hoping that Wyatt would stand up for himself earlier, but it did all work out in the end.
Well, and because Greer did what he did, Wyatt got reprimanded.
Initially, but it eventually
worked out for Wyatt.
Yeah, it did initially work out, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. He was not a nice man.
No, and it, yeah. It
well,
just
with a name like Greer, like what?
Sorry.
Even the name.
Sorry. That's funny.
It's like a gremlin.
Like a gremlin. Sorry. Sneaking around, taking credit for stuff.
In other words, you wouldn't name your child that, right?
No.
No. And I'm sorry if someone...
I'm sorry if that's someone's real name, yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's too funny.
It fits the character, I guess. Yeah. Sorry.
And this is why we don't cheat in school.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Because eventually you have to do it on your own, and then you're going to be in trouble. Okay, now, Wyatt tells Dorothy he's in love with her. And I had, when I read that, I was like, were you expecting that? And did you expect the reaction that Dorothy gave? I asked that because I was surprised at the moment that he chose to do it. I don't know why. It just kind of took me off guard, maybe, that he chose to tell her he loved her then. But I also didn't not expect her reaction. The scene was very heartbreaking, I thought. Because I thought she was coming around to realize, like, Lawrence is not worth it. He's doesn't really care about me. And I thought maybe she was moving more towards, like, Wyatt at that point, but apparently not. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you want me to share Jamie's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was shocked, too. She was not expecting him to say it when he did, but she was so glad he told her and happy in the end that she realized he loved her for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, she, like, Lawrence was like, ew, you have freckles? I didn't know that, when she didn't have all her makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Wyatt was like, I love your freckles.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd rather you not put the makeup on.
Yeah. So. Well, and Lawrence, I don't know why she couldn't see through Lawrence. She knew he was dating other people, and yet she still...
Yeah.
Tried to change herself for him.
Yeah, I like the one makeup scene, though, where she didn't wear the makeup for him. And I think it showed her and gave her a little more confidence.
Yeah. It did. So what did you think about how she finally saw the truth and would just, like, told him off?
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, go girl.
That was me. Yeah. That was me, too. I was like,
yes.
You go, girl. You kick his sorry butt out on the sidewalk there. He didn't deserve her, for sure. Especially when she was like, I think I look fine for going out, you know? Or fine for something. And he mistook it as like, oh, so you want to, like, stay in and do naughty things.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, she was like, you filthy. I loved it.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Very, very well written, I thought. All right, so Wyatt and Dorothy have their first kiss, but Wyatt pulls back.
I know.
And he says, were you shocked? I was shocked
that
he pulled back, right?
Yeah.
Because he says he doesn't want crumbs, but the whole loaf. And so what did you think about that whole scene?
I thought it was the bread loaf crumbs was cute. Like, I was now it comes back later. But yeah, I was sad. I was like, finally, yay, finally. And Dorothy's falling in there. Wyatt, and then Wyatt does that. I'm like, come on,
man. I know,
man.
When he pulled
come
back.
Come on, man.
I know, you like, you wait for this first kiss moment.
Yeah.
And he gets there. And then I'm like, what is he doing?
Right. You finally got him. Oh, my goodness. But it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
I think I understand why he did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I understand.
Because she was always so hung up on Lawrence. And he was like, I don't, like, and he said, he just tosses out crumbs to all you ladies to keep you strung along that, he might choose you in the end.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not doing that. I'm all in or nothing at all, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I loved it because I think it's rare in a romance for the man to be the one to set the boundaries and the standard and to pull back and say, if we're going to go through with this, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And I loved seeing this. Again, it had me fall in love with him even more.
Like, yeah.
He's such a good guy. But I will say that my husband was that way when we were dating, too. He very much had there's lines we won't cross. Mm-hmm. While we're dating, but he also was very much it's all or nothing.
Yeah,
like, either you're all into this relationship with me and where we're moving, because basically he's like, my intention is to marry you in the end.
Yeah.
So you know,
we're not,
like, he
we're
made
not
it clear.
Going he's to like, date over here and date over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's yeah. So just, I think that's probably why I fell in love with Wyatt. He had a lot of the same characteristics as Derek. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Oh, let me see what Jamie said here. I felt bad. She wanted to talk about this series so, so bad. It just, timing didn't work out for us, but... Oh, when she told, I forgot to share her thoughts when she, Dorothy told Lawrence off. She goes, I may have cheered out loud for this one. She said, one of my favorite lines in the book is, you did see me. Sorry you don't like what you saw. I forgot she said that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then for their first kiss, she goes, it needed to be said bluntly. I do wish he would have been a little more gentle or asked her intentions first, but it really did need to be said. And he was being honest, and that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Right after their first kiss in this whole discussion, it kind of shocks her a little bit, but where he just lays it out on the line, this is how it's going to be. Spoiler alert. Again, this is a big spoiler alert. I'm not sure how we can talk about this without giving it away. So, again, if you have not read the book, you might want to stop listening now. So, I didn't word it in the question, but did you see this coming? And what did you think about this scene and its impact on the rest of the book?
I did not see it coming. Based on... how Dorothy's family was.
Yep.
But then it did make sense kind of after her dad and her talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
How he was towards her because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to give it away.
I know. I don't want to. I did say spoiler alert, though. So if we do say it, it's okay.
But then I also thought, that woman is terrible. Terrible. How could you do that to your family?
Oh, my word. I was absolutely appalled by her and the other man.
Yeah.
Because they were like, she was even like reprimanding Dorothy. Don't you talk like that about it, you know? And I was like, what the two of you are doing is appalling and it's absolutely disgusting. But they were almost like she was trying to think like she was better than Dorothy or something. And I was like,
I was totally shocked. I never dreamed that something like that, but it did explain a lot about the father-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. Like why he didn't want to go to that.
Yes, everything started like falling into place.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Now, Jamie said, wow, I can't even put into words how awful I felt for Dorothy. The loneliness she feels now, to know that her... Okay, this is totally... I'm going to give it away right here. You ready? To know her mom is alive.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I have no words. It's hard enough when it's like you believe your mother is dead and the loss you feel there. To know she's alive and wants nothing to do with you.
And to know that her dad knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And doesn't.
And I was really heartbroken for her dad.
Yeah, I was too.
Like, that's... awful. But that was a twist that I was like, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But then, you know, as soon as it's revealed, don't all those little clues fall, like, you go, oh my word, how did I not see this coming? Yeah. So.
Well, and like you said, everything else starts falling into place as to why. Yeah.
Sorry, the air just kicked on and I'm like, ooh, that's gold. It's like blowing right behind me. All right. So what did you think of Dorothy's reaction to the embezzling and him initially not wanting to do anything about it? Obviously, after that truth bomb goes off,
yeah,
it makes sense. But what were your thoughts on him through that whole?
It was frustrating because you want justice for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the whole pride thing, I guess, for the crown or whatever, because it's not... I don't know. It's just not our culture, but
yeah,
It is just frustrating. That culture is very different.
Yeah, it is.
Where we just want justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't understand why he...
Yeah.
Because that's not, you know, why you would let something like that continue and let it support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was glad he chose to take a stand finally at the end and say, this isn't happening anymore. But I also thought he was very honorable in that he, although he didn't want his wife back.
No.
And he said that, I don't want her back. He still provided for her, made sure she had money to live, not like a, you know, fancy, spoiled life, but she had a place to live and food in her house, you know, food.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was pretty amazing. Okay, so now we're going to circle back to, you know, Wyatt's whole saying was all or nothing at all. What did you think of this? I loved it because in marriage, you never, ever settle. That's a lifetime commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And you never settle for anything less than someone's all.
That's true.
Amen.
Does that sum it up for everybody there?
Yeah.
Let me see what Jamie put. I love the way our pastor put it, is who you choose to marry is the second most important decision of your life. The first is that you choose to follow Jesus Christ, and then it's who you marry, because it is a lifetime commitment.
It is.
You don't take that lightly. So
I wish more people felt that way.
I know. Jamie just put, that's how it should be. All right, so Dorothy finally realizes her father has never been in her hands, but in God's, and she finally surrenders. So how did you react to that scene? First of all, I loved that this realization came while crying in the bathroom, because as girls, how many times have we gone and cried in the bathroom?
I didn't go cry in the bathroom because there was too many of you in the house. I had to leave. I had to leave and drive away.
She would do that.
Yeah.
And I cried.
Yeah,
and,
but you know, Dad used to go, I'm going for a walk.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, Mom got no peace when she went into the bathroom. That was Dad's, like, one room that if he was in there, he knew nobody would
come in.
Whereas us girls are like, hey, Mom, you just go through.
Yeah, I get that.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I got in a car and I left so I could have some privacy.
So she could cry alone.
Oh, my
God. I'm sure we made you cry a lot. I'm sorry for that, Mother.
No, it was all six of you. It wasn't just you. Everybody should have six.
I made her cry.
I was the only sister that didn't make her cry. So.
Yes.
I made her cry.
Yes.
That's right.
Darn it.
Tiff, everybody should have all girls and have a lot of them. Yes.
I do remember I made you cry because you thought I was going to forever be a tomboy. Jessica told me you cried once with her because you're like,
I did.
She's always going to be a tomboy. She's never going to be a lady.
Who knows? I can't remember so many things.
She cried over so many things.
Oh,
Jessica told me that. And I was laughing because now I feel like I'm the most ladylike of all.
Yeah, you are. Really, you are.
I love you. It's all funny. And you're listening. Oh, too funny. Anyways, okay. So I thought that scene was pretty amazing. I loved, Jamie put, it's amazing the relief that God can provide when we finally just surrender.
Yes, yes.
It all. And I've done this many times over my own sisters. I'm like in an anxious worry, like my stomach's upset, mm-hmm. for like weeks on end. And finally, it's like he smacks you upside the head and goes, they're in my hands. What you're worried about.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's, yeah.
All right. So what did you think of the reason Dorothy's father gave to her for why he withheld his love for her? Because remember, he said, everyone I loved, God took from me. Took his wife. His wife stopped loving him. And then his sons.
We're both, yeah.
He said, I loved you so much, I thought if I showed it to you, he would take you from me.
Broke my heart.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Not a way to live.
No. Holding her at a distance. And
like he didn't. I understand, I guess, why he did that. It was out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he realized how it made her feel.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did to her.
Yeah, those unintended consequences. He was trying to protect himself, really.
Yeah.
And never once thought about what that was. All right. Did you enjoy Wyatt and Dorothy's love story?
Yes.
Yes.
I did too. I loved it. Loved it. All right. So let's rate the following elements of the sea before us. What level would you give the romance? I went mocha.
I would go mocha too.
Yeah.
Jamie went espresso.
Really?
She wanted more.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
We could always
we like
more.
A lot of romance. How about the suspense? Jamie and I went mocha.
Yeah. I was like, there really wasn't, it didn't feel like there was a lot until stuff started happening. So mm-hmm. I would do mocha. Then you're like, oh, there is some suspense here.
D-Day playing out.
Yeah.
I was like, the whole time. I couldn't stop until I got to the end of that one.
Yeah, it was because,
action. Jamie and I both went mocha.
Well, there were some moments, though. There was a lot of action. The war scenes.
There were some moments where, but as a whole, I'd say mocha.
You think mocha? How about mystery?
Hard because like there is a mystery, but you don't know it until later. Like, espresso.
You did espresso.
Yeah, espresso.
Okay, but Jamie and I both said mocha.
Mm-mm. I don't. I could see it, like, because once you know it,
you're like, it's there. What's going on?
Yeah.
Drama.
Mocha.
Yeah.
I did mocha too, and Jamie did latte.
I was debating latte.
I mean, there is, when you think about the drama between her and her boss, the drama between her and Lawrence, between her dad and, I mean, yeah. You probably could say. I just don't think it was like as explosive as what I consider latte drama, I guess. And how about inspiration?
There's mocha.
I did latte. Jamie did mocha / latte. You think so?
I'd say latte.
Yeah. I just thought there were so many good nuggets of truth. We talked about several.
Mm-hmm.
So, real quick, though, before we give the overall rating, I was curious. Did you enjoy the amount of description she gave for, like, the war side of it, as far as, especially when we got to the D-Day scenes? Or are you more like, I could have gone with a little less in-depth description?
No, I enjoyed that. But then I love history.
Mm.
And even though this is not my normal time period,
mm-hmm.
anything about history I enjoy. So, you know, I mean, because D-Day was a big thing.
Oh, I know.
A really big thing.
Didn't we just celebrate the 80th anniversary?
I feel like.
And when they said that, yes, because Sarah, she posted on it on her Facebook page. I saw that. I was like, it seems like it was a lot longer, like further back in history than just 80 years.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed, and I'm a history person too, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but sometimes the terminology was like a far and above anything I know. But when you, when I talked to Sarah, so when that interview comes out, everybody will hear, she's very much a detail oriented. She wants to be as accurate as possible mm-hmm. when she writes her stories. But just the whole, it's hard for me to read any of the, because there's one in every book mm-hmm. of D-Day from a different angle, basically.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to read without crying, because I just can't. Half our men didn't even make it off the shores.
I know.
I mean, it was just, I say half, I'm probably being, I don't know if I'm being exaggeratory or not.
Well, and there was a lot that never made it to shore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, okay. Don't want to get depressed there. Sorry. Yeah. I just was curious what you thought about. There's a high level of accurate historical content yes. in there. So, all right. What is your overall lasso rating of The Sea Before Us by Sarah Sundin?
I'm going to go 3 lassos.
Okay.
3.
I enjoyed it.
I did 3 as well. And I'm shocked because Jamie said she really liked these. She did 2.
I was teetering 2 to 3 because I liked the other one, the last one, the
agree.
More.
So I was think like, they got better as they went.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's just because you saw more and more to like the one
plot.
Incident.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, all right. Well, hopefully everyone enjoyed our discussion of The Sea Before Us. Mm-hmm. And we tried not to give too much away, but we did drop a big truth bomb. So hopefully you had already read it before you listened to us talk about it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.